Good day, great gamers, to another fastidious show of the Daily Days Too Many Games podcast, the weekly broadcast that casts a light on both the good and bad of gaming, but largely the good as we hope for the best regarding our hobby. I'm Mr. Picario, here to deliver these weekly editions, and today we're talking about the so-called Nintendo comeback. Indeed, after a year of success stories involving the Switch, Zelda Breath of the Wild, the Super Nintendo Mini, and Super Mario Odyssey, Nintendo has become the boulder that cannot be stopped. But is everything truly perfect in Nintendo Land? Is the company as infallible as so many fanboys claim? I'm going to take a hard look at the company, both the good and the bad, the stuff we love about Nintendo, and the slimier, not-so-great stuff as well. And, to get us started, here's some fine music we can always count on Nintendo to deliver. Well, there's no doubt Nintendo is experiencing a renaissance of sorts, and if one looks back on history, this is a pretty typical pattern that the Big N follows. After the seemingly invincible NES, Nintendo faced declining sales for its SNES and N64 consoles due to stiff opposition from both Sega and Sony. This faltering relevancy culminated with the GameCube, a fine console in its own right that still lost in total unit sales to Microsoft's Xbox and Sony's PS2, at least in America. But, after some apparent soul-searching, Nintendo rebounded with the inexplicable Wii, an underpowered machine that nevertheless conquered the globe with over 100 million units sold. Nintendo apparently was back, and in a big way. That is, until the Wii U. Although a fine machine, it floundered with the public, ultimately becoming Nintendo's worst-selling console, the Virtual Boy notwithstanding. So, Nintendo quickly changed course again, essentially scrapping the Wii brand for something decidedly different, yet familiar. Although the motion controls would live on, Nintendo's newest creation, the Switch, would streamline everything else into the handheld home console hybrid we know today. And if sales are any indication of success, over 7 million Switches have already been sold as of November 1st, 2017. It seems the Big N's recent gamble has paid off again nicely, lending it newfound respect across the industry. So, if the pattern holds, Nintendo faces a rosy future for at least the next few years anyway. But this is where we must apply a little devil's advocate. Could the Switch begin to falter in, say, year 2 or 3, especially as its chic novelty wears off in light of ever-aggressive competition from both Microsoft and Sony? As I mentioned in a previous show, the Switch is slick, but it isn't perfect. As with other Nintendo consoles, the online offerings of the Switch are not nearly as robust as its rivals, but worse, there are a notable lack of other options, such as video services like Netflix and Hulu, to help counter this point. Also, there's no backwards compatibility as found on the Xbox, or Virtual Console as seen on the Wii U. It lacks the PS4's increasingly sprawling high-budget library of great titles. And even when compared to its lowly Wii U sister, its interface is bland and has nothing as clever as the Wii U's Miiverse social service. In addition, the Switch is pretty pricey. Once the fans have all bought their consoles and Christmas passes, will the average Joe be willing to put down some $400 on a single game more than likely and the hardware itself that's already starting to show its age? Switch accessories are not cheap either, with the Pro Controller going for some $70, and additional Joy-Cons not being much better. And speaking of those Joy-Cons, they're all about motion controls primarily, but the newer games that are coming out don't really incorporate those features very well, which makes them almost irrelevant, and thus makes the Pro Controller an almost mandatory purchase. And there's one more factor to consider. With Zelda and Mario released this year, two of the Switch's best cards have already been played. No doubt it'll be at least a couple of years before Nintendo graces us with a sequel to each, and that's being optimistic. So, that's the bad news. The good news is that it may not matter, as there are at least three big guns Nintendo still needs to fire: Mario Kart 9, the next Smash Bros., and Metroid Prime 4. And while Metroid Prime 4 may still be years away, I bet the other two are closer than any dare to think. Indeed, both franchises have proven to be more popular than even Mario himself. And yes, either one of these games probably means millions more systems sold. So, in short, the Switch is likely to continue paving its way to success, benefiting not only from some good future games, but also from the simple fact that it has no equal in the handheld space. The 3DS is slowly dying, so people may also consider the Switch as the likely and really only replacement available. So while I don't expect the Switch to ever do PS4 numbers, and certainly not Wii numbers, something well beyond how the GameCube performed is certainly likely. And then, when one considers price drops, special editions, and pack-ins, I doubt anyone really expects the Switch to suddenly dry up in sales. Of course, it's not just about the Switch. Nintendo has many more aces up its sleeve. For instance, the 3DS is still holding its own, Amiibo still sell briskly, and Nintendo has a Game Boy Classic Mini probably up its sleeve as well, not to mention many more future games. Not that every title Nintendo produces is gold. We've seen enough Wii Music, Star Fox Zero, and Zelda Triforce Heroes to know that. But overall, Nintendo seems to be in a good place in pretty much every category. In truth, perhaps the only thing really hurting the company is Nintendo's own oppressive, stodgy policies when dealing with its fans. Despite a legion of Nintendo loyalists numbering in the millions, there are millions more that regard the Big N with a skeptical, even derisive eye concerning the constant indifference, even hostility, the company holds for its audience. Indeed, that list, showcasing Nintendo's poor judgment and mishandling of its fans, is legion itself. From tampering with the Evo fighting tournament by trying to yank Smash Bros. Melee, to restricting Miiverse members to only 30 posts a day, to threatening legal action against wonderful non-profit fan games that took years to make, to removing Mario Maker levels without explanation, to censoring games like Fire Emblem, to possibly orchestrating the artificial scarcity of its products, to overcharging for amiibos and unlockable content, to the Tomodachi debacle, to attacking YouTubers who are basically providing Nintendo with free advertising, to the region locking of its games, and so on and so on and so forth. Oh, right, Nintendo has fixed that last one about the region locking, so that's something, I guess. The point, however, is that no matter how well Nintendo does, the company is its own worst enemy and often a PR nightmare. Nintendo does have its fans, but it also has its haters, and perhaps, paradoxically, it deserves both. The company will never conquer and completely dominate the market again until it learns to celebrate the creative community that, whether the Big N recognizes it or not, forms its very lifeblood and backbone. Respect your audience, Nintendo, and appreciate what they create in your name. Embrace their efforts and accept your role as their muse. And dare I say, their friend, for they aren't parasites, rather their family, the logical extension of your far-reaching influence and brilliance, the very backbone of everything noble you have done. But alas, beneath that family-friendly exterior, Nintendo is really just a corporate machine. Fans are just consumers, and consumers only. The idea of them being friends and artists and family is probably a completely absurd notion to the corporate heads who run the company. In other words, Nintendo expects and demands your blind adherence to its policies and really its dogma. Indeed, like the leaders of some religious cult, Nintendo expects complete and unquestioning obedience from its many so-called followers. So, dare you post that YouTube video without Nintendo's consent or publish that fan game, be well aware Nintendo will smite you like any angry god. Whether you agree or think that's right, well, that's entirely up to you. But I will say this, lest you give your fans that love they desperately crave, Nintendo, you will never truly be number one again. This is Mr. Picario, signing off for now.